Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Sarah Dykstra. On this edition of the podcast, we'll hear from Stephen Lattimore as he talks about the National Gun Awareness Day celebration in Gary. John Kane, host of Eye in the Arts, talks with Eric Rolden about an upcoming music festival. And Chris Nolte talked with Stephanie Poe about a special summer learning program. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. President Donald Trump called the Paris Climate Accord draconian and onerous when he announced the U.S. would withdraw from the agreement. But the decision's benefits to Indiana's energy landscape are unclear. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Nick Jansen has more.
Countries plan for themselves how to make the effects of climate change less severe under the Paris Climate Agreement. The primary solutions? Adopt renewable energy sources, limit carbon emissions, or both. Indiana Energy Association President Mark Mozzel says the agreement doesn't really impact the country's electric utilities, which are already working to reduce carbon emissions.
It probably does not ultimately really impact the overall economics, simply because the cost of natural gas is low, the cost of wind and solar are now very competitive.
But Indiana Coal Council President Bruce Stevens says ditching the Paris Agreement is a good thing for the coal industry. That sector provides 75% of the state's electricity.
Is yet another instance in which a regulation, a treaty, is coming off of our backs.
It's difficult to put a dollar figure on the benefit to the coal industry, but Stevens praises the move as another signal that Washington wants the industry to compete again. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Nick Jansen.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill says the state's treatment options for drug addiction are inadequate. Now he's formed a coalition of government, healthcare, and law enforcement leaders to make the case for reform. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Drew Daudelin reports the group met for the first time Wednesday, June 7th.
A group of inmates from Dearborn County Jail spoke to the Public Safety Coalition's first meeting. One of them, a 33-year-old named Adam, talked about his experience in the jail's rehab program called the Jail Chemical Addictions Program, or JCAP.
Getting arrested saved my life. Not getting a bond saved my life. Not being able to leave this program saved my life. I think it is vital.
Attorney General Curtis Hill says he formed the coalition to give a voice to law enforcement around the state.
This is a free society. We need to have accountability for all of our behavior. We certainly want to be able to provide opportunities for people to help themselves. But first and foremost, we have to keep people safe.
Hill says the coalition and its members will meet regularly and present to groups, including the General Assembly, to push for the expansion of programs like JCAP. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Drew Dodlin.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. Indiana spent more than $24 million in 2016 on kids repeating kindergarten. Experts say high-quality preschool programs prepare children for kindergarten, potentially saving the state money on remediation. But the issue in Indiana is that many kids who need access to pre-K can't get in. Legislation passed this year sets aside $1 million for online pre-K efforts. It's designed to increase access for low-income families. But as WFIU's Lindsay Wright reports, some believe the money would be better spent on in-class programs.
One by one, young kids here in Floyd County are graduating from their pre-K program. But it's not traditional preschool. It's all done online. Jackson is one of about 100 students graduating from the home-based Upstart program. He also attends an in-class preschool, but his mom, Danielle Reynolds, was eager to try something new with him so he would be prepared for kindergarten.
My daughter, she didn't have a rough start, but she wasn't maybe as prepared as I would have liked.
New Albany Floyd County Schools is the first district in the state to pilot the Upstart program through a federal grant. The Waterford Institute in Utah develops the software, which New Albany schools also use as a reading intervention tool for K through second grade classes. That's why Tony Duffy, the director of elementary education, says he was expecting positive results.
We jumped at the chance because we saw what Waterford did for other students, and we knew we had an opportunity to do that with our students that are coming in.
Before beginning the program, kids take an online assessment. Then, with their parents, the kids use the program at home, 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, for 9 months. They take the same assessment once they've completed the program. And then they graduate. Claudia Miner is the director of Upstart. She says the results of the follow-up exam are compared to the ones the kids took before the online program.
And you might not think that was really long enough for children to learn much, but the software is so individualized that it teaches the children exactly what they need to know before they move on to the next thing.
Currently, more than 27,000 low-income four-year-olds don't have access to high-quality pre-K in Indiana. Several counties have limited options or even no option. The Indiana General Assembly is putting $1 million toward online pre-K, and it's not exactly clear yet how the money will be distributed. The legislation also allocates more money to the state's On My Way pre-K program, launched 2 years ago, which gives pre-K scholarships to low-income kids. Ted Maple, president and CEO of Early Learning Indiana, says funding should be prioritized to in-class preschool.
An online pre-K program can help a child develop specific skills, say in letter identification or numeracy, but cannot provide the same depth and breadth of skills a child will get from a high-quality classroom-based pre-K experience.
Maple says online pre-K simply can't provide kids with some of the critical social skills, for example, that are necessary for development. And Waterford officials acknowledge that. but say the true advantage of programs like Upstart is access.
So it's all about the access. We are not here to replace anything. We know how valuable site-based and high-quality early education is. But some people can't get there. Some people can't afford it.
Miner says it is best to pair the program with a site-based preschool, but the most important goal is for the child to be kindergarten ready, which Reynolds says Jackson is.
2, 3, 4 months into it, you're kind of like, okay, we really have to spend every night doing this. But it's worth it because I've seen the things. I've seen the growth. I've seen what he's learned.
Reynolds says she fully expects Jackson to have an easy transition into kindergarten. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Lindsay Wright.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. The Indiana State Board of Education approved 4 private schools with a history of low performance and academic failure to accept new publicly funded vouchers. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Eric Weddle reports the approval Wednesday covers tuition for incoming students. Indiana's state-run local food label hopes to expand this summer with a new influx of cash from the legislature. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Annie Ropeek reports the Indiana-grown program will use its first direct state funding to market itself and court more businesses that sell local products.
The State Department of Agriculture scraped Indiana Grown together from existing funding the last 2 years. Department Commissioner Ted McKinney says they recruited 800 members, nearly all of them local producers.
What we did not have funds to do was to reach new outlets, notably restaurants, food service, wineries, and breweries.
They're getting $500,000 over the next 2 years to do that.
With some money to create awareness, we'll help create consumer demand. And with that, we hope we then lift up producer sales.
McKinney says they hope to help producers label more items Indiana grown and connect them with more places to sell. He says they also plan to run new ad campaigns for the program and expand its store at the state fair. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Annie Ropeek.
Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte talks with Stephanie Poe, who is the Director of Education Strategies with the nonprofit Indiana Connected by 25. She talks about a special summer learning program to be held at Purdue University Northwest in Hammond. A group of about 50 Hoosier foster youth from across the state will spend the next 8 weeks beginning Friday in the Summer Bridge program. These youth will stay in residence halls and study on campus as they learn skills that will help them adjust to life from foster homes to life on their own in college.
Yes, Indiana Connected by 25 is a foster care agent organization, and we work with foster youth that are being emancipated from the child welfare system, ages 14 to 25. And this program was developed out of several years of a study looking at what are those needs our foster youth have when they are leaving the foster care system. So Indiana Connected by 25 was launched by United Way in 2008, and in 2013, we were able to, what we call, get our own sea legs, become a 501(c) agency, and launch our program. We work in seven core areas: education, housing, financial literacy, youth engagement, health, mental health, their child welfare issues. But we try to build programs in all of those seven core issues that our foster youth experience when leaving the foster care system.
If you will, tell people what the situation is like here in Indiana as far as foster care is concerned. They're not youngsters that you may know youngsters or know of youngsters who are in foster care, but not the average Hoosier probably doesn't realize that they are out there, and there are so many of them out there. Tell us about how many foster care managed youths are out there, as well as what they're doing and how they're being cared for.
In Indiana, we have several foster youth that are emancipated out of the system every year. For this year, I think we're about 200 to 300 youth that are going to be emancipated. Mm-hmm. One thing that our state has done through the Foster Connections Act of 2008, foster care has been extended to age 20. So a lot of these youth that would leave the Department of Child Services at the age of 18 will now stay until age 20. So our state has become a champion when looking at what can be done to help these youth have a successful future. So the Department of Child Services has committed themselves to working with these youth past the age of 18 and offering services. And Indiana Connected by 25 is one of those agencies that they partner with. And we operate the ETV program, which is the Education Training Voucher Program, that supports foster youth that are going off to post-secondary education, which could be a certificate, a two-year degree or a four-year degree, that we work with them from the time they enter college up until age 23 to support them financially as well as academically.
Now, you mentioned that Indiana Connected by 25 deals with helping to get Indiana foster youth on their own when they get old enough to be able to be on their own, leave foster care and leave the families and go out there and try and make a go in their life. It was probably pretty exciting to come up with this initial Summer Bridge program. The concept behind it is very interesting. Tell us about it and what some of the young people, if not all of the young people, that are going to be participating in the program up here in Hammond are going to be doing.
With this initiative, we last year was able to offer a Summer Bridge program 2 weeks on the campus of Ivy Tech Community College in Indianapolis, and we had the opportunity through a champion with Purdue Northwest University, Dr. Roy Hamilton, that worked with us on getting this Summer Bridge to be 8 weeks on the Purdue Northwest campus. The youth, we are excited to be able to offer this program for our youth, but we are trying our best to make sure the foster youth that are going off to post-secondary education have success in academics, that they reach graduation, and they have a support system around them within the academic community as well as the child welfare community to work with them and support them. The Summer Bridge, we are going to be able to offer each youth up to 6 credits of college credit that will go towards their fall 2017 semester. They will also receive the experience of living in a dorm and living on the campus, as well as the unique parts that go along with our foster youth, with understanding some of those barriers that prevent them from being successful when they start college. We'll be working with how to deal with family relationships, how to build relationships, conflict resolution. We will also be working on communication, understanding that your professor is not your high school teacher. So there is an array of subjects that they are going to participate in and learn and grow. And we also will be doing some cultural outings, which we are so excited about. We will be attending a lot of the festivals that are going to be in Lake County area, as well as going into Chicago to the Sears Tower, Navy Pier. But we want to give them a full, rounded summer bridge that enhances the physical, the emotional, the academic, the mental, and prepare these youth for a successful fall 2017, that they have the tools needed to graduate post-secondary education.
That's great. That's great. We're talking with Stephanie Pope, who is the Director of Education Strategies for an organization that is called Indiana Connected by 25s. And Indiana Connected by 25s is putting out its Summer Bridge program on the Purdue University Northwest campus in Hammond, starting this weekend and continuing for the next 8 weeks. They have a lot of interesting things that they seem to be doing, Stephanie. And you mentioned in part as well, too, the opportunity to see what campus life is like. It's kind of quiet at the Hammond campus during the summer months typically, but sounds like you have enough things going on that certainly they're going to at least get a taste of what it's like to live certainly away from home for at least a few weeks, as well as what it's like when they are able to go to college and have to spend time in a residence hall on campus. What kind of things can you do to prepare these young people for what is going to come up during the summer months?
Well, one thing that we are doing is getting them prepared with the dorm kit. Each youth is going to receive a dorm kit that covers them from the bed, the bedding, to their bathroom, items that they need for the restroom. Everything that a youth needs to pack for the dorm, the youth will receive that when they come onto campus. We will also be helping with their computer. They will receive a computer package and also learn some of those computer skills that are essential when they are on the campus in fall. So this is kind of the time to learn those things or to build where they have gaps, to fill in those gaps, to help them be successful. We, Purdue Northwest, has selected professors that are going to work with them, and they understand our foster care population, and they will work with them. We'll have tutoring support. So we're trying to make sure that we give them an ideal academic experience on the campus. So when they get on the campus, wherever they go, because this is a statewide program, some of the youth will be attending Purdue Northwest, some will be at IUPUI, some will be at Ball State, Indiana University. But we are trying to make sure they are equipped for a successful fall 2017 and those academic years that will follow.
Well, it certainly seems that if they get a chance to see what life is like at Purdue Northwest during the summer months, that they'll be ready to go if they end up going to Muncie or to Bloomington or Fort Wayne or wherever it may be, or Indianapolis campuses to go to their first semesters of college. They'll certainly be prepared for that. Tell us, if you will, a little bit about some of these young people that are going to be participating in the Summer Bridge program. These are, I guess you could say, they're kind of like, I hesitate to say the cream of the crop, but these are very well-adjusted students, young people who are ready to go on in life beyond their foster care. Just because they're in foster care, they probably have come in with some baggage, don't they? Tell us about these young people who are going to be coming up here and what you hope that they can take away from spending time here on campus.
We'll start with some of the academic issues that some of the youth may have or concerns or challenges. We are able to offer two tracks while they are on the Purdue Northwest campus. Mm-hmm. We have some of our youth that will be taking courses on the Purdue Northwest campus with Purdue professors. We have some of our youth that will be on the Ivy Tech track, and those Ivy Tech professors will come over to the Purdue Northwest campus and teach those classes. We're trying to best work with our youth best on how to prepare them that have not been prepared for the rigors of college, how to get their study skills brought up to speed, their computer literacy where it needs to be. So some of the youth, we have male, we have female, we have some youth that are 3 to 3.9 GPAs all the way to a 1.1 GPA.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of diversity in this group. We are looking forward to this diversity, and we are championing ourselves to make sure these youth come out ahead and ready for success.
Now, once you get this program taken care of, the 8 weeks finish up here at the Purdue Northwest campus in Hammond, and this this first summer bridge program officially gets underway. As you said, you had before an opportunity with Ivy Tech in the past to be able to give them some experience. How do you hope that to be able to follow through just another of the series to continue on, or are you expanding the program, so to speak, to include some other things in the future?
In the future, we have already secured commitment from Purdue Northwest to offer Summer Bridge 2018. And Dr. Marlon Mitchell, that works as the president of the Ivy Tech Gary campus, mm-hmm. has been really crucial in helping our youth and working with Roy Hamilton, Dr. Roy Hamilton. So we are able to offer this Summer Bridge program already in 2018 for the graduating class that will be coming into college fall 2018. So we're excited about that opportunity. We will be having a design studios where Annie E. Casey in the Jobs for the Future will be coming in. They are also funders of this program and offer technical support. They will be coming in August to study the program, bringing in people around the state to look at how we were able to implement this program and lessons learned so that they can go back to the various states and implement a Summer Bridge program.
Well, that's good, because you need some kind of debriefing, I guess, after the event happens and see how things went. What you can do better in 2018 in this case, the best things that have happened and how to continue those on in the years ahead too. So it sounds like a lot of exciting things are going to happen with this program in the future. We've been talking with Stephanie Pope, who is the Director of Education Strategies for Indiana Connected by 25. It's an organization that is going to bring a group of about 50 Hoosier foster youngsters in from across the state to the Purdue University Northwest campus in Hammond for about 8 weeks here for what is being called the Summer Bridge Program, an opportunity to get these young people who are different walks of life and different educational levels, all doing well, though, because they want to go on to college and get them acclimated to what life is going to be like when they do start college in earnest, hopefully in the fall of 2017. Stephanie, thank you very much for being with us to talk about the program. The best of luck to you and to all the students that are coming over here, and I hope they enjoy their stay in Northwest Indiana, in particular, a chance to take a look at the region and enjoy some time visiting places in Chicago that you have on the itinerary. So they're going to be very busy young people for the next 8 weeks, it sounds like.
Yes, thank you.
For Lakeshore Update, I'm Chris Nolte.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program's link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition from NPR News with local host Sharon Jackson on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure to search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Sarah Dykstra.